Welcome back to the 10-4 show. My name is Jonathan Carter, and this week in episode 22, we're going to begin taking a look at how the .NET Framework 4 makes developing data-centric web applications with ASP.NET Web Forms even simpler. So we know with Web Forms, it's always had a pretty good amount of data controls that made data-centric applications possible. So you have the data grid, grid view, repeater, the list view, details view. As subsequent releases of the framework have come out, we've seen evolution of these controls. And the same goes for data sources. So whether you're using Link to SQL, Entity Framework, just SQL Server straight, XML, Access, so forth and so on, you have the data source controls and the data controls to kind of get things done. And then we also know in the .NET Framework 3.5 SP1, when Dynamic Data was released, there was even more functionality that kind of supplemented those existing controls to be even better, as well as the scaffolding support. Now, as much as that functionality was great and provided a ton, there's always room for improvement, right? So with the .NET Framework 4, we really feel like we've made some very significant improvements in terms of making the ease of use of adopting this data-centric functionality in both new and existing applications pretty much very easy. So let's go ahead and jump into a demo and see how this looks.
Alright, so here we have a very basic data-centric kind of application written in web forms, just a master detail scenario, products and categories. And what I want to do is find a series of flaws or things that could be done to this to make it just much more improved in terms of the user experience, and then see how we can do that very easily using the enhancements coming in the .NET Framework 4. So first, let's go ahead and take a look at this grid and see a few things that stand out as being kind of crappy. So we notice that cell start date, cell end date, and discontinue date need a little bit of formatting love, maybe some spacing between the words there. Also notice that the formatting of the actual dates, they include the time, and it's pretty much useless in this case because it's always 12 a.m. and that's obviously not even being used because all we care about is date. Also notice that wait here might be nice to have a comma there for the thousand separator, as well as price and cost. These being currency, it would be nice to see those formatted with dollar sign and so forth. Also here, if you notice that like discontinued date and sell end date are optional, so it might be nice to have like some type of an empty string display here, so maybe like NA, just specifying that these products don't actually have an end date or a discontinued date. And then finally, we notice that the category here, ID, is pretty pointless. It would be nice if we saw the name of the category as opposed to just some kind of ID that doesn't really mean much to anybody. Now that's just kind of the display. Now what if we want to edit this in line with the grid? So name we know is a required field, so let's go ahead and clear that out. And we also know that cost is a numerical field, so shouldn't be able to put a K there. And also see here that the cell start date, the time is still there too. And that just continues to just make little to no sense. Now if I want to update this, notice that I just get the yellow screen of death telling me that, oh hey, cost can't be K. That's not really friendly. And you know, really it would be nice if there was some way to catch these exceptions before the page just bombs on me. Now we know we can do that with doing like a template field and specifying validators ourselves, but the whole point of being data driven is, you know, where we can specify kind of this validation logic and metadata at the data model level and not have to continue replicating that logic across the UI. So we don't really want to go that route. Now we know that we're going to have the same problems down in the form as well. So if I, for instance, clear out the name and then set price to L, when I hit update, it's going to bomb. So this is just a pretty poor experience. Now if we stop debugging and we look at the code, we'll see kind of why it's doing that in that all we have is a vanilla grid view that's just doing auto-generate columns, and then a vanilla details view, both of these which are wired up to a data model using the Identity Framework. So the problem is that this is as basic as it can get in terms of doing some type of data-centric application, and so what we would come to expect is the most basic functionality possible. Little to no validation, pretty poor formatting and display, right? That's just the kind of things we've come to expect. But with dynamic data and .NET Framework 4, we really say this isn't what you should come to expect. You should come to expect a lot more, and you should come to expect it pretty simply. Now, there's really two things that we need to do here. The first being we need to be able to specify the formatting and metadata information on our data model that we want to be reflected in our UI, and then we need to somehow hook up that validation and metadata to our UI. So the first thing let's do is go ahead and start incrementally updating our data model with this validation and metadata. So with dynamic data, for those of you that are familiar with it already, you know that the way it works is that there is this set of attributes called data annotations that you can easily apply to your data model classes to declaratively specify validation metadata. So in this case, we know that there's a class called product that was generated for us by our ND data model here. And so what we can just do is start adding on attributes to this so that we can specify kind of how we want formatting and validation to work. So because there is no such thing as partial properties, we have to create what's called a buddy class or a metadata type that will actually house the property level metadata and validation. So we won't go too much into that, but for those of you that this is the same case with dynamic data in .NET Framework 3.5 SP1. So we need to hook these two types together, specify that this class is the metadata class for product. Okay, so now let's go ahead and try to revisit the couple of issues that we noticed with our UI. So the first thing was the display names for all the date fields. So what we can do is just say, okay, cell start date, for instance. Now notice when you're doing the buddy classes, the type doesn't matter, so I'm just doing object, and it also doesn't have to be a property, it can just be a field. So in this case, even though the cell start date is a property in the product class that was generated in the Identity Framework, there's no reason for us to have to make it a property. So on this, I'm going to use a data annotation called display, and in display, there's a property called name. So what I'm going to just do is say cell start date, and that's it. So now we've added a little metadata to that cell start date property saying this is the display name. So let's go ahead and slightly replicate this for cell end date and then cell and then discontinue date. Discontinue date. Now remember also for cell end date and discontinue date, we wanted to add some formatting so that if they're null, we have some type of text that shows kind of that, hey, this product doesn't have an end or a discontinue date. So with the display, we can also, there's another attribute that we can specify called display format. And what display format lets us do is a couple things. We can specify either a format string as well as some information as far as what do we want to display if this column is null and whether we want to format that in both edit mode and so forth and so on. So in this case we want to say the null display text for this is NA. So we'll go ahead and copy that to discontinue date. And so now we would come to expect that when those two properties are showed in any type of data control and they're empty, they'll have the text NA displayed there. Now also we want to format these dates. So what we can do is in the display format, there is a property on here called data format string. So for these we can easily say just format these using the lowercase d format string, which is going to just simply be the date. So that'll give us the effect of trimming off the time. So this is one approach you can do it, where you have complete control over the format string, or you can also do something like this where you can say data type equals data type dot date. So we've kind of added a little bit of additional semantic here by saying, hey, this is just a date. So even though in the database it is a date time, I'm just thinking of this as a date. Okay, so that takes care of the dates. Now let's look at the number formatting as well. So let's take a look at price and then also cost. Now both of those are currency fields. And if we want to specify that a property is a currency, we can once again use the data type property and specify that its data type is currency. So then that will give us the effect of formatting those for currency. Now for weight, we can once again use the display format and say that the data format string for weight is simply number. So then that will give us the thousandths, comma separator, and so forth and so on, but it's also localizable because we didn't have to specify an exact format string. Okay, now that we've got kind of the basic stuff, let's talk about some of the validation, because right now we've specified primarily metadata. So one thing that we noticed also was that remember that it was allowing us to edit the ID property, which doesn't really make sense because we don't want our primary key being edited. So what we can do is we can say that the ID property is not editable. So then now when we try to edit a product and it sees an ID, it'll reject the ability to actually edit that property. As well as we know that, remember, name was allowing us to not enter a value, but we know that name as well as number are actually both required. So we need to specify that in our data model. So we can simply just say required. Nope. For name, and then we can also say required for number. Now an interesting thing also with number is that we kind of saw that there was a pattern there in that where we could actually constrain the value of number to be a regular expression. So let's go ahead and say for this that the regular expression for number should be any uppercase letter, two of them, followed by a hyphen, followed by either an uppercase letter or a number four times. And then also we're going to have an optional hyphen followed by either two digits or two or one capital letter. So for those of you that are cringing right now, this is by no means a regular expression lesson, but what I want to do is express how we can constrain and add this type of validation at the data model level. Okay, so let's see, what else did we want to talk about here? So I think this pretty much covers it. So one other thing that we need to do finally is there is a property that you inherit on your types when using the entity framework called entity state, and we don't want that to be displayed in our grids or even in our form. So let's go ahead and on there say scaffold column equals false. So that has the effect of just telling the dynamic data runtime, you know, hey, we really don't want to include this guy in kind of the data-centric functionality that you're going to do. Okay, so this part right here is using the data annotations where we've been able to supplement our data model with all of our validation logic in a single place. So how do we then take this information that we've been able to define and wire it up as such to our UI that it's able to reflect this information? Now, what if I told you it was literally as easy as one line of code? Now, previously, before .NET Framework 4, that wouldn't be the case, but now with the addition of the dynamic data improvements in the .NET Framework 4, it is. So let's go to the onInit, the code behind for our page, and remember, this is just vanilla ASP.NET. There's really nothing going on in here. What I can do is in init, I can say products grid view dot enable dynamic data, and in there I have to specify a type. What I'll do is I'll say the type that this is working with is the type product. Now, because I'm specifying that it cares about product, it's now going to be smart enough to look at that product class and say, oh, okay, I see all this information. I know how to interpret this. So let's go ahead and now run this with just by making that one change and see what I did wrong here. Oh, forgot to say object there. My apologies. So let's run this now and edit one more thing. Oh, okay. Say that that is a literal string and run this. So remember, now let's go back through and revisit all of the little UI issues that we noticed with this page before we kind of enabled dynamic data. Alright, so first things first, notice on the date columns, the display name is now proper. Cell start date, up. I completely forgot to actually change the value there. So let's say cell end date and discontinued date. Okay, let's rerun that. So we actually did see that worked, so that's great. Now let's, when this loads up, we should now see the respective column names for each of those. And here we do. So discontinued date, cell end date, cell start date, great. Notice also that the time has been trimmed off of those values, so we have just the date here. Also notice that for both cell end date and discontinued date, when it's empty, it displays NA, because we specified that. Also look at weight. See how now we have the comma, because we specified that that was to be the display format should be a number. Check out cost and price. Notice those are both showing up as currency because we specified that as currency as well. So let's try to edit a product and see if our validation stuff is in place. So first you might notice that ID is no longer editable. Let's try to clear out the name field, tab out, and notice now it's telling me the name field is required. This isn't necessarily the prettiest UI up front, but we can change that text, right? Also notice that if I go into cost and enter a K, it's going to tell me the field cost must be a valid decimal. So now it's starting to pick up on the data type of currency there. Also notice that in cell start date, the time is still gone even though we're in edit mode. All right. So let's go back to our number and say, remember we defined that it has to be a sequence of two uppercase letters followed by a hyphen, followed by either uppercase letters or numbers, followed by an optional hyphen, and then either two numbers or one uppercase letter. Okay, right? Kind of a mouthful. So if I remove one of those letters and tab out, notice now it's telling me, hey, it has to match this regex. Once again, that isn't the prettiest error message. We can change that though. The point to get across is that now, by just specifying those data annotations in a single place, we've completely been able to define both validation and metadata for the product class. Now, then, with the enable dynamic data method, we were able to easily get all of that information reflected in our UI with a single line of code. Now, we also see down here that we want the same changes to be reflected in this form, because we got them up in the grid. Now, if we want to do that, can imagine all we have to do is enable dynamic data on the details view as well. So if we go back to the page and say enable dynamic data, type of product, and then rerun this, you can imagine that now, even though we're using two distinct controls, either the grid view and the details view, but with the new enable dynamic data method, we're able to have those changes reflected perfectly across both. So now look, ID is not editable. If I clear out the name, clear out number, notice there, set this to a letter, look, and there we go. Notice the time is gone, and so forth and so on. So now we have complete validation and metadata regardless of the specific data source, data control that you use. Now this is pretty powerful because it gives you the flexibility to, throughout your application, whenever you use product data, rather it's in a tabular form or in a form type scenario with the details view or the form view, you're still going to continue to get the rich experience with both metadata and validation.
So now that we've taken a look at the demo, hopefully it's pretty clear that with the .NET Framework 4 and web forms, it really is easier to develop data-centric applications. Even in some situations, it might be as simple as a single line of code. Now, what's even better is that it does continue to take advantage of the existing controls and the knowledge that you already have. So the concept count is kept very low, but yet the potential for having new rich behavior such as validation and UI templating becomes possible. So with that, we once again thank you very much for tuning in this week. Continue to stay tuned for more information on upcoming features in both web forms and dynamic data in the .NET Framework 4, as well as in the web space in general. So we continue to ask you to send your feedback, suggestions, hate mail, love mail, whatever, to our 10-4 email address. And as well, please continue tuning in as there's so much more information to dive into with the rest of the team on both Visual Studio 2010 and the .NET Framework 4. So with that, over and out.